Coming up on this episode of DL Weekly, Bob Chapek talks about reopening the parks around the world, what that is going to look like, Disney sends out surveys asking about reopenings,
a glimpse inside the parks from cast members, construction restarts at the resort, we talk Shanghai Disneyland reopening and what that means for Disneyland, and more. DL Weekly starts now.
Welcome to DL Weekly, a podcast about Walt's original Magic Kingdom, Disneyland. We cover the latest news and information from the resort, test our skills at trivia, and have a discussion about the parks every week. We invite you to send in your feedback and stories. Our contact information can be found at dlweekly.net. Now sit back, keep your hands and arms inside the podcast, and enjoy this week's show.
Hello and welcome to this episode of DL Weekly for the week of May 13th, 2020. I'm Teresa Urban.
And I'm Teg Bushman. We would like to say a thank you and a big welcome to Lee S. and Jasmine A. for becoming supporters, and for Freya, Tara, and Elijah for increasing their support of the podcast. This support helps make DL Weekly possible. Without the community support, we'd not be able to produce the show and get through this difficult time. The supporter Discord chat has been a great source of Disney magic from our supporters, like themed topic days, Disney trivia, and more. If you would like to become a weekly tier yourself, and you have some more Disney magic in your day, head on over to dlweekly.net/support to sign up.
Well, if you're looking to add a little magic to your wardrobe, now is a great time to check out our DL Weekly store. From now until Friday, May 15th, all t-shirts are just $13 and the rest of the items in our shop are on sale and up to 35% off. Head on over to dlweekly.net/store to check it out.
Well, it is that time of the month when we pick a weekly tier out of the Mickey hat to be a guest on the show or to choose the discussion topic for a future episode. Drum roll, please. This month, it is Lori D. Well, congratulations on being picked from the hat. We will send you a message with details shortly. If you want the chance to have your name drawn, become an official weekly tier at dlweekly.net/support.
Now let's get to the news. Disney CEO Bob Chapek was interviewed by CNBC this week talking about what it's going to take to reopen the U.S. parks. Chapek began talking about attendance and demand. They are really encouraged by what they are seeing from Shanghai's first day. They're going to be very disciplined on how they open up, and they're going to take their time. Chapek said that it has to be Disney operations in partnership with guest behavior to make it successful. The biggest challenge that he sees is getting guests to comply with things like masks, especially in the hot weather.
So I watched this, and there's a couple things that I want to mention about this. First of all, it's the first time I've seen Bob Chapek by himself talk about something, and he may have talked about something by himself elsewhere, but this is the first time I've actually watched something that was just Bob Chapek. And so it was just him, and he kind of gave me some confidence about the parks, because I watched this, I was like, I kind of feel better about all this now, because it was... I don't know. He even in this interview, which we have linked in the show notes, he even answers a question about how things are different or how we feel about things with the fact that Bob Iger has had to step in and help with things. And he said it's an unprecedented time. And of course, he's going to need help for this stuff. And they're all going to work together because the Disney company has never experienced something like this before. So, of course, it's going to be something they need help on. But he was talking about attendance and he said there is a demand. For the parks, there is a demand. Obviously, in Shanghai, things are selling out. They said their whole first week is basically booked. But they're going to... Shanghai, actually, their government allows more people than they're allowing in. And their plan, according to him, is that every week they will increase attendance 5,000 extra people until they reach the limit that the government is happy with. And then when the government increases it, they'll do the same thing. They'll stay at the level, and then each week they'll go up 5,000 to make sure that they can ramp up and do everything correctly, which, I mean, I think as we've reported on this since the beginning, I think this is a great way to go. They're being very disciplined. I think they have a plan. And one of the funny things with Bob Chapek in this interview, too, was he was very optimistic about the Asian and international parks being able to reopen and people are going to be like accepting of things because they're used to masks and they're used to all that kind of stuff. He said that what's going to be challenging, here is that the guests have to be in partnership with Disney operations to make it successful. And he, especially with Florida, did not think that the masks were going to be something that people were going to easily comply with or stay compliant with throughout the day. And I think we've seen that just in America in general, yeah. that there are people that find masks very uncomfortable, or there's people that feel they're above the guidelines or whatever and it doesn't apply to them. And I think that Disney's going to struggle with those folks. But otherwise, I think they've got a great plan, and I'm excited to see 3 weeks from now when people have been in these parks to see if the numbers of cases have gone up or down or whatever, because it takes a couple weeks. So mm-hmm. if people get, you know, I'm curious to see how good this all works out. Hong Kong Disneyland, I've also heard, is getting close to reopening as well. So fingers crossed that this is a slow reopening of everything.
The thing that I was really excited about from this interview was basically, you know, we've kind of been in the dark. Yes, everybody's been making assumptions and trying to predict the future as to what the parks are going to look like. I mean, we ourselves did an episode on that. So, you know, it's just, I guess, kind of human nature to kind of, you know, try and figure out what it's going to look like and try and mentally prepare ourselves. The thing that I really liked was nothing he said to me seemed like it didn't make sense. Everything he said seemed very logical to me. It seemed very down to earth. I actually appreciated that he stressed that it has to be a partnership between operations and how the guests are behaving, because, you know, Disney can throw up whatever rules they want to try and throw up, but if we as guests don't listen and respect those rules, uh-huh. then, you know, there's no point in having them. So I like that he's trying to make it public that we understand, you know, we have to work together on this, and, you know, that sort of thing. So I think that's great. And I do like that they also understand that, you know, the masks probably will be a challenge. And like he said, especially in hot weather, we were talking about that
yep.
and how uncomfortable it could be. Maybe you could overheat. Who knows? I've never had to wear a mask in the middle of a day in Anaheim with it being 90 degrees and have to wear a mask for a super long time. So I don't know how warm how uncomfortable and warm that would be, but I can't imagine it'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm liking that they're being very level-headed in their decision-making with this.
Yeah, and something that Lee just brought up in our chat is that Shanghai Disneyland is 973 acres and Disneyland's 160 acres, so fewer people will be able to enter Disneyland. Well, the way that they are calculating this is a percentage of the total capacity. So I think Disneyland's capacity, like max capacity, was like, what, 85,000, something like that? Or Magic Kingdom at least was 85,000,
yeah.
something like that. And so it's a percentage based on the max capacity. So if the max capacity, let's just make up a number like 60,000, and they're trying to stick to 30, 33%, a third of it, whatever, then they're going to allow, what is that, 20,000 people if it's 60,000? Yeah, so you're still going to have a lot of people, but again, it's spread out between attractions and all that stuff. Just because so many thousand people will be in the park doesn't mean they're all going to be in the same spot of the park. Main Street could be one of those situations. They might have to open up some backstage access or just always keep those walkways on either side of Main Street open to kind of try to alleviate the crunch point of Main Street. I mean, obviously, there's bottlenecks in the park. And so directing traffic around the park will be part of that. Well, the resort has updated their resort operations page outline with updates on how they will handle the reopening of the parks. Things that we've talked about on the podcast previously are on the guidelines, like capacity limitations, social distancing, experiences being modified, and more. So basically all the stuff we've talked about before.
Okay. Well, with the opening of the Shanghai Disney Resort in China, we have seen what mass temperature screenings at the park could look like, and there is a real possibility that these measures will also be coming to Disneyland. The machines that would be used for this would scan guests as they pass an entrance, and only guests with an elevated temperature would be pulled aside for additional screening.
Now, have you seen the video from Shanghai Disneyland that they were showing how, not since it opened, but before, they were showing like, we expect people to keep a distance and wear a mask. Mm-hmm. And they had a clip in there of guests coming through what looked like a security screening tent. And they had these like, you know, like on your, if you have a modern smartphone, you've seen this, like it can tell where your face is.
Yeah.
So it kind of does that. And it has a little temperature next to it. Like it follows you along and goes, you know, 98.6, you know, 92.8, whatever. I mean, that's really cold, but you know what I mean? And so they can look at it that way. And I think anybody that is, you know, above whatever temperature they choose or whatever, will turn red or whatever, and they can pull those people off to the side. So I think that we were worried about, you know, people like pointing, you know, doing a temperature to your forehead or something, or some people were saying, you know, actual thermometers. This is a much better system for that. And I think that this is, if they're going to do temperature screenings, that's what it'll be
like. Well, and this seems like it would have, because we were talking about this way, way in the beginning. I think when Iger at one point had hinted that maybe temperature screens would be a thing.
Yeah.
We were trying to figure out, you know, how are you going to do this and not bottle, you know, and not bottleneck the security line more? Because remember, we're trying to stay socially distant, so we don't really want lines. Right. You know, so how are you going to be able to do this while still letting people, you know, get through in a timely manner? So I think, this makes a lot of sense. It makes a lot of sense. It'll be interesting, too. The other thing, I'm getting a little off topic. The other thing I wonder if we don't see is if, like at Disneyland specifically, with security. Mm-hmm. Right now, you set your bag on a table and a security person manually searches through the pockets and all that.
Sure.
I almost wonder if we don't see like conveyor belt systems where the security people aren't having to actually touch your belongings.
So like at the airport where it just kind of goes through. I could see that. Well, Disneyland has been sending out surveys to guests trying to determine what guests want, expect, and would be comfortable with. What company, resort, local, state, and federal measures would be needed before they would come back, and more. So basically, they're asking things like, so if the local government said things were okay, would you be more comfortable coming back? Okay. Would cast, you know, kind of like we covered on a previous episode, would cast members wearing masks make you more likely to come back? Having stay-at-home restrictions lifted, would you feel better like that? So widespread testing, all of these various things, they're trying to find out what people are comfortable with. One of the interesting things they talked about, too, was the Disney Cruise Line. They were asking if people wanted to do a cruise, would they be considering it now, in the next month, in 4 to 6 months, or many months from now? So personally, for me, financially, I can't think of one right this second, but I would be willing to go on a cruise maybe as close as even next month, because I feel like on a cruise, they've been very good at making sure that things are clean and all that stuff, and obviously they're going to be screening you. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if you wanted to go on a cruise that they wouldn't make you self-quarantine for 14 days before your cruise, because that would kind of, you know, limit it or whatever. I mean, I guess you're going to be out traveling to the cruise ship or something, but
yeah, I don't know how they'd be able to make you self-quarantine before you got on this ship. But some of the things I thought was interesting that they asked was not, you know, kind of like the basic things that everyone thinks of, but they even were asking things about, you know, like, would you be okay with, like, housekeepers entering your room, or, you know, using water fountains, or, you know, even just financially, you know, are you, how do you feel financially coming to the parks?
Sure.
You know, are you, is that something you're financially able to, not necessarily, you know, do you have health concerns, but do you have financial concerns? So it is really interesting how they're looking at this kind of full circle. Now, so the people in the chat were not certain. So we personally have not received a survey.
They were sending them out to people who had reservations and stuff that were canceled. So if you don't have a reservation the next couple of months, you probably aren't getting one of these.
Well, reopening anything at the Disneyland Resort could be a ways off still, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel with the beginning of the phased reopening of Disney Springs out in Walt Disney World in Florida. For those not familiar with Disney Springs, it's basically Disney World's version of Downtown Disney. The shopping and dining district will open with a limited number of third-party establishments. The rest of Walt Disney World will remain closed, including the theme parks and the resort hotels.
So this is encouraging because one of the things earlier we talked about Bob Chapek in Shanghai, and one of the things that they did out in Shanghai was they opened their shopping district a month before the parks opened. That's pretty cool. Hopefully this means that we're a month or two away.
The thing I think interesting in Bob Chapek's interview earlier this week, he kind of explained how they opened Shanghai Disney's shopping area. And it was kind of just how they were testing the waters just to see, you know, how everything was going to work in place. So I think they were not only seeing how their policies and procedures were working, but also testing the guests to see how well they complied with the new restrictions. You know, were they being socially distant? Were they making sure to wear their masks? You know, those sort of things. So I hope that everyone does a good job. I hope that the cast is able to do what they need to do. And I hope that the people visiting are also smart and responsible and safe. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But I get this. It makes a lot of sense because opening something like the shopping district is going to I'm sure, not be as big as a financial burden to them. And
well, worst it's third case, parties too, so
yeah,
it's not even Disney stores. It's, you know, whoever's in the shopping district.
And and the other thing too is, versus opening, like, say, the theme park, if this doesn't go well, it's probably much easier to close down the shopping district again than it would be to have to close down the theme parks again. So fingers crossed that everything goes well and that this can go smoothly.
Yeah, because people aren't flying long distances to stay in hotels to go to Disney Springs. Mm-hmm. So this is going to be more of a locals thing, that they have more options to do things and get that little, especially a lot of local annual pass holders and stuff can get that taste of their Disney fix again, you know. I mean, we've had people in the chat today, we're talking about it, that, you know, if downtown Disney was open for some locals and they felt fairly safe there, they would go to kind of get that little bit of Disney fix, because you get the area music and you're still there even though you're not in the theme park. I mean, we had that last day when we were at the parks that we enjoyed just hanging out in downtown Disney, and it was great.
There's a lot to do.
Well, with the update to the phased reopenings in the state of California, Disneyland might be closer to opening than many anticipated. Theme parks are not scheduled to open until Phase 3, which wasn't expected to happen until late summer or later, but Governor Newsom said it could come in less than a month. Again, he's basing this off of if everything goes well, or there's no re-spikes in infections or anything like that. But we were thinking, I mean, you know, Disney had a June 1st opening, then they moved it to July 1st. Some people were saying, you know, you had the Universal surveys and stuff that were saying things like November. So it's nice to see that there is a possibility that the parks will be open sometime this summer, as opposed to fall.
Next year.
Or next year. Yeah, next year is even worse, right? And again, you know, we get comments from people sometimes about how many, you know, like that we... you know, it's something that we, you know, we're whining that it's closed and all this stuff. But, you know, we just want the workers to be able to go back to work. We want to be able to have people enjoy something that they enjoy, especially after all of the air quotes sacrifices we've made with staying home and everything. So it'll be nice to be able to get out and to enjoy something more public again than what we have been. And Disney's part of that. And one of the things, again, to go back to Bob Chapek's interview, one of the things that he said it signals when they open the park is kind of a return to normalcy. And I think everybody at this point, doesn't matter what you believe, I think pretty much everybody wants things to return to normal as soon as possible when it's safe to do so. So let's cross our fingers and hope that we're starting to try to get out of this and it'll be safe for everybody and we don't have to close back down and stay back home again.
Well, on the evening of May 6th, the Disney security teams at Disneyland and Walt Disney World shared some images from inside the parks during their shift. Some of the iconic places that security duty manager Tina shared were Sleeping Beauty Castle, the Mark Twain parked on the Rivers of America, New Orleans Square, Storybook Land, and more. If you guys haven't seen these photos, okay, first of all, I'm going to brag because we had one person in Walt Disney World and we had one person in Disneyland. And I took a look at both photos. The gentleman from Walt Disney World did a lot of like selfies with all this fun stuff. And they're hilarious because he's posing like with a stormtrooper and he's looking bored at the tower, you know, Tower of Terror hotel check-in desk.
Yep.
But I really liked what Tina did. She took a selfie with, you know, with Sleeping Beauty's castle, which beautiful. But everything else is just these. They're almost like, I don't know, photography quality style photos. They're beautiful. So, like,
well, she also tells a story about each one. So, like the Mark Twain one, she was talking about a childhood memory of seeing Louis Armstrong performing, which I think is super cool. She's got this one with New Orleans Square that that she used to work at the River Bell Terrace there. And it's one of her favorite places to walk and peer through shop windows. So it's kind of cool because it like adds a little personal touch to all of these different things.
She even took a picture of the petrified tree, you guys. So I feel like she is like super Disney nerd at heart as well and loves all of the small details of things. Because even her picture of like the Matterhorn is actually of like the flags and the entrance to the queue. And, you know, that's not really something that everyone thinks about when they think of the Matterhorn Mountain. They think of the mountain, right? So, I don't know. Just very beautiful. I really liked the angles and the little glimpses of details that she shared with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and these are great pictures. And, you know, Disney will get a lot of interaction on social media by posting stuff like this, because everybody's so thirsty for what's going on in the parks. And since nobody can be there, I mean, we're used to following people that go and take pictures every week and vloggers that are there all the time. So you can always kind of, even if you're not there, you always kind of know what's going on. But nobody knows what's going on right now unless they're working there, and they're forbidden from posting pictures and stuff unless it's officially sanctioned. So it's great that there's some officially sanctioned stuff, because I think it's super cool, and I love seeing all the stuff in there as well. Well, the Disneyland Resort has extended their previous offer for guests who had a vacation booked from March 16th through June 30th that could take advantage of up to a 20% off Disneyland Resort hotel stays between July 1st through December 31st of 2020. The deal is good on stays Sunday through Thursday only. I think this is going to be one of those things that as the closure extends, mm-hmm. this will also extend until whenever it opens.
Yeah, similar to how Disney is going to be taking care of people with annual passes by extending out their pass expiration dates. Mm-hmm. You know, they want to try and keep the magic alive as much as they can, you know, so it makes sense. I get it. Well, the Orange County Register has reported this week that limited construction has resumed at the Disneyland Resort. Crews have returned for essential work on Avengers Campus and Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. This is great news considering that there was a fear that at least the Runaway Railway might be put on hold indefinitely due to losses that Disney had sustained due to COVID-19. Crews returning to work on the upcoming attraction puts that rumor to rest for now.
I am so excited that they are getting back to some type of work at the parks, because I was so concerned that, like, especially with Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, that it was not going to be something that they were going to be able to do, that they were going to just cut it because of expenses and everything. Yeah. So it is great to see that they are continuing on these things. I knew Avengers Campus was going to get worked on still, because it is so far along. It's just some final touches at this point. So, but Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway is a pile of dirt.
Yeah,
basically.
They just broke ground, it feels like, on that. Mm-hmm. And it's huge. If you guys have not seen the aerial photos that I think that was a couple weeks ago, some in our news. Anyways, a helicopter flew over the Disneyland Resort, and you could see aerial photos of the construction of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. Massive. It is so much bigger than I don't know. I think I completely am immersed in the Disney magic, because whenever I see aerial photos of the parks and I mm-hmm. actually see how big show buildings are, blows my mind every time. But anyways,
I'm very excited that the construction is coming back. What I'm more excited about is hearing if the stuff at Disney World is going to come back, because Epcot, like half of Epcot is under construction, and they haven't mm-hmm. said anything about that yet. So cross my fingers for the poor people out in Epcot that the Epcot is finally getting the update it needed and COVID happened. So,
You know, the other thing to mention too, we had reported on this was way back when the parks had first closed, which feels like forever ago, but they actually had ripped up parts of the hub. So before Disneyland reopens, they need to fix that, especially because I'm sure, you know, if they're going to do something like we had talked about 2 weeks ago, I think we talked about how you could maybe have one-way traffic through the resort. You know, mm-hmm. if they're going to implement something like that, you got to make sure that your hub is fully functioning. So there are some things, you know, I do kind of have to chuckle when they say, essential work on these things, because I mean, I'm a Disney fan. I think it's essential. But you know, in the grand scheme of things, is it really essential? Well, something like repairing the sidewalk and like the cement on the hub would be something essential for them to reopen versus working on an attraction wasn't slated to open for
years.
Quite a while. Anyways. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see. I don't know. I think it's just hope, right? Because if they're going to start doing stuff inside of the parks before they then open the parks up for us to get inside of them. So we're moving in the right direction.
Absolutely. Well, even after the successful Dapper Days at Home last month, the official in-person Dapper Days has been canceled. The summer Dapper Day outing and expo was scheduled to take place in April, then it was rescheduled for June. The events for the summer of 2020 have now been canceled altogether. At this time, their November events are still on the calendar for November 14th and 15th. There's also the possibility of a smaller Dapper Day event in August, but that is to be determined.
The other thing to mention, too, is that Dapper Day is offering refunds if you did have tickets for spring, or if you had tickets for the beginning of the year expo that originally was spring, but then got moved to the summer, for their expo passes. Or if you don't want to refund, the passes will automatically be eligible to be used for the fall expo. So I thought that was something cool that they're doing.
Yeah. You didn't get a chance to dress up for the Dapper Day.
I did. No, I did not. When is the... Oh, no. The fall expo is November 14th and 15th. So that... We do have a trip planned. It's the end of August. We'll see if that happens or not. I was curious,
but not November
if this
14th
would
and 15th.
Perhaps just happened to fall when we were there, but it's not. We'd have to take yet another trip out to the parks.
Yeah. Oh, darn.
Darn. Well, at the rate we are getting Disney recipes, we may not need the parks to reopen. Just kidding. Jack Jack Cookie Num Nums is the latest recipe to be released. According to the Mice Chat article where someone used the recipe to make them, they taste just like the ones you can get out on Pixar Pier.
So we got one of these, and I don't know if it was because we got it late in the evening or what. It wasn't like... Some people really love these cookie num nums, and I just thought they were okay.
When we had them, I think the problem, I'm going to give them a second go because they weren't fresh.
See, that's what I'm saying. I don't know if it was because we had it late.
It was kind of like they were sitting there and they weren't, I don't know, they weren't like ooey gooey melt in your mouth amazingness that I have heard. They were kind of hard and they were cold. So I want to give it another go because I've heard amazing things about them and I just think our timing was...
I hope so, because people like rave about these things.
I know, and I was surprised because yes, we got it later at night, but the line was really long. The stand was super busy, so I wouldn't have thought that we would have gotten older ones that had been sitting for a while.
Apparently, we're wrong because almost everybody in our chat right now is saying that they are amazing, but they have to be warm. So we'll have to try those again.
So yeah, we'll give them another go for sure.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should make them at home, and if they taste good at home, then we can try it again and buy the $7 cookie or whatever it was, because it was fairly pricey. It was big, though.
It was a giant cookie.
Which was sad, because all of us had a bite, and we were all kind of like, meh, and then, did we give it to Vern to, like, eat? Like, here, Vern, finish this.
Does anybody have tips on getting a warm one, since apparently we fail at that?
Maybe you have to just go up to the thing and be like, can I get a fresh one?
Excuse me, is this one warm? It was under, like, a heat lamp thing. I thought we were... Fine.
I thought that they threw it. It was busy, Kate. There was a huge line.
Maybe
we had to wait.
We had to go in the middle of the day because we wanted to ride the Incredicoaster at night. And so we rode the Incredicoaster at night. And then when we got off, we got a cookie num num.
I thought that they threw it through the little warmer thing. Because I thought they had like a churro oven and I thought it went through that.
I don't remember.
Anyway.
For whatever reason, I remember seeing the process. It was busy and I was not worried that we would not get a fresh one.
You know what I thought it needed?
Fine, and
you know what
I
thought we needed?
Fresh.
I thought it needed ice cream.
You thought you needed ice cream.
Anyway. Well, one of the most popular things during the stay-at-home orders have been things that people can work on at home to help pass the time. Things like Legos and puzzles have been popular. Puzzles at our local stores have been sold out for weeks now, and even online retailers like Amazon have been sold out as well. Shop Disney has released some Disney-themed puzzles that, at least for a couple of designs, are not sold out as of recording.
These puzzles are fun. They're beautiful. I really
Ravensburger's are great puzzles.
Yes. I really like that they, you know, not only do they have like awesome adult puzzles, they have really fun, really cool kids puzzles. Like this one here has 24 pieces. So that'd be great for young kids wishing that they had some more Disney magic.
I want like a 500 piece though that I can work on. Like that one, that Coco one for 1,000 pieces is amazing. But if you click on it, click on it. It's only $24.99. Go up to the link, click on Coco puzzle.
I'm sure it's sold
out. It is sold out.
It's beautiful. Black Tap Restaurant is selling prints of its artwork displayed in the restaurant to support the National Restaurant Association Educational Foundation. Each print will be available for 2 weeks. The first print is $60 and features Fumero's Grandpa City.
So, I don't know if all of these are going to be $60. It was hard to see. This first one, if you like colors and stuff, this is an amazing graphic. I'm interested to see what the next few are, but it's not... For me, it's not my like art style, but
it's kind of how do I want to say it's kind of like street art feeling. Like it looks like you know you could do it with spray paint kind of style.
Yeah.
Fun colors, very cool.
Well, now is the time to take a trip to Trivia Land, where producer Vern will try to stump us with some Disney trivia and keep Therese out of the shopping channel. He'll ask us four questions and maybe a bonus. We'll attempt to answer. We'll get the correct answers after the discussion topic. What do you have for us this week, Vern?
Well, you are in for a treat. Producer James and I have been emailing with each other, and we've been diving into the stack of emails from the listeners. And so we are going with listener-submitted questions tonight. So, first off, from listener Todd, we have, in the Haunted Mansion, so this one's pretty much for Teresa, during the ballroom scene, you can see a spider and its web on the glass.
Yes.
What caused this?
A bullet.
Somebody shot a bullet or a pellet gun or something in there and cracked it. And the glass is so large that the only way they could replace it would be taking the roof off and lifting the thing out with a helicopter. So they...
A naughty, naughty guest caused it.
So they added that cute thing. And unless you know it's there and look really hard for it, there's no way you're going to see
it. You know what? That is the amazing thing about it, because I had ridden that attraction umpteen times and never noticed it really on my own. I think because I'm mesmerized by the Pepper's Ghost effect, you guys. It's so simple, but I'm mesmerized by it. So I love watching the ghost. So I'm like always leaning out of my doom buggy looking like down into the scene. So I never noticed it. And then actually it was just recently I was like, ooh, I need to pay attention and find where this is. So I finally saw it. And yeah, it's amazing how do I want to say it? It's just amazing how it just blends in so well mm-hmm. that you just don't even realize
well,
it.
Well, two things that help is it's the very last panel before you leave the ballroom,
mm-hmm, yeah.
and it's a dark section. So even if they didn't cover it up, it'd be kind of hard to see because you're not really looking at the glass generally. You're looking through mm-hmm. at other things. So anyway.
I like how you're assuming that you have the right answer.
I mean, I guess we'll find out.
If not, we went on a whole side tangent.
Maybe that's why we can't see it, because we picked the wrong spot the whole time.
For your second question, still from listener Todd, when Splash Mountain opened, a TV special was aired that featured what 80s advertising icon being the first person to ride Splash Mountain? First being in quotation.
Is this somebody that we should know?
It's an 80s advertising icon.
Do you recognize the name? Have you ever heard of this? I
100% do recognize the name, yes.
Okay, so it's something that people
child,
would know.
Yeah. I mean, Teresa, maybe too young, wouldn't quite recognize it as well, but...
Advertising icon, all I'm thinking is, like, of all the... Because when I was younger, I used to watch, like, infomercials. And all I'm thinking is... Well, first I thought Billy Mays, but he wasn't until, like, the
2000s. No, yeah, that wasn't...
And then I thought like Ronco from the Ronco food dehydrator and sure. all that stuff, but yep. it's probably not him either.
No. You said, how did you describe the person again?
A TV special was aired that featured what 80s advertising icon
advertising
as the
icon.
First quotated person to ride Splash Mountain.
You know who would know this?
Not
Ken
me.
Over at the Sweet Spot, because he knows everything about the Splash Mountain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
80s advertising icon. You're going to say the answer after the discussion topic, and I'm going to be like, duh.
Yeah, actually, as I was reading
I'm
the question
stumped.
In the email, I went, oh, God, I remember that commercial.
Oh. Nope. I think it's the 90s.
Stop the presses.
For some reason, I just thought
Steve Urkel.
But I think he's 90s now.
Urkel is very much 90s, yes.
You could get away with like early 90s, but... Advertising, though.
I don't know much about the 80s.
If I may offer a hint, I don't usually think of this person as advertising.
Can you give us a hint?
I just did.
Well, can you give us a better hint?
This person is an advertising icon, but they're equally, if not more, famous for other things on the screen.
Okay.
Patrick Swayze.
Oh. Did he do advertising?
I don't know.
Tara, Mr. Peanut, Mr. Clean? I'd love to see Mr. Clean going down Splash Mountain.
I'm stumped. I don't know.
I don't know either. Oh, wait.
Michael Jackson.
Oh, what's it might be Michael
Barney?
Jackson, but he's, but no.
Barney was 90s too.
No, Richard Simmons.
Because I think that'd be hilarious. Richard Simmons.
I'm changing my answer.
I don't know.
I'm gonna say I'll go with Michael Jackson. And you're gonna go with Richard Simmons.
We're going with Michael Jackson and Richard Simmons. Okay.
Freya said the Six Flags old man. That'd be ridiculous.
I forgot about the Six Flags.
But
old
that was
man.
Like 90s as well.
I loved that guy.
See, Terry even says 90s.
Well, from listener Freya, we have our third question. Who is the motivational speaker of Toontown?
The motivational speaker of Toontown.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like a character?
The question is, who is the motivational speaker of Toontown?
Hmm.
And because I know the answer, I can say yes, it's a character.
Is Minnie Mouse the motivational speaker?
Is that your guess?
That's my guess.
Well, you can't be asking. let's see. It's an animated person?
Yes.
Or character? Okay.
Motivational speaker of Toontown.
Oh, Gadget.
You think it's Gadget?
I think it's Gadget.
I feel like it's somebody from Roger Rabbit. I'm going to say Roger Rabbit. He seemed like he'd be motivational.
Gadget and Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fourth question from listener Bob, a.k.a. Ace. After riding Midway Mania, you exit up the stairs and you end up on a walkway that overlooks what?
There's a shop.
Is there?
I don't remember what the shop's name is.
I don't think it's a shop.
I remember walking downstairs into a shop.
You overlook something. Let's see.
After riding Midway Mania, you exit up the stairs and end up on a walkway that overlooks.
I remember you go through his bedroom, but are you looking down at the shop?
Mm-hmm. I thought you did.
So why do you go up? I feel like you go up to get over part of the attraction.
You probably get up to get over the loading area.
Do you see Jesse's Roundup out the window? Because I feel like that's would
you
kind of
the
be the area.
Carousel?
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Jesse's Roundup.
You're going with Jesse's Roundup?
Yeah, or Critter Carousel or whatever.
Yeah,
it's
called the Critter Carousel.
Yeah.
The TV show was Woody's Roundup.
Yeah.
And is that what you're going with as well?
I don't know. I'm going with the shop. Which I don't know the name of, but there is a merchandise store.
The merchandise store.
Yep, there's a store.
Okay. And the bonus question, which is actually a bonus question of question four as well. Well, it's your bonus question for the night, and it's a bonus question to question four. You're on the same walkway. What is directly to your left-hand side?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, then that's going to be Jesse's Critter Carousel. And below you is the shop, if you're going to say that.
Or is it the Incredicoaster? Are you looking at the Incredicoaster?
Keep in mind, you just came off of Midway Mania, so you're still inside the building.
Oh.
Yeah. So my answer to both is Critter Carousel, because one of them has to be right.
Okay, so below you is something, and then you said to your left?
Yeah.
Directly to your left as you're on the walkway.
I'm going to say is the loading area.
Hmm. I think your loading area at that point is behind you and down.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Okay. I think to the left is like the loading area and like the queue and that, you know, that stuff. Man, we need to ride. I'm embarrassed by this question. I feel like this should be a gimme.
Yeah.
And we're so excited about our scores that we just go.
We don't ride Midway Mania that often because the line is always so long.
That's very true.
So I think per trip we ride it once, unlike other things that we ride multiple times.
Well, did Tag and Teresa get the right answers? How about those of you listening at home? Do you think you answered correctly? Keep listening after the discussion topic to find out.
Well, for our discussion topic this week, we are going to talk about the reopening of Shanghai Disneyland this week. And of course, it opened, as we're recording this, it opened yesterday, May 11th. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about kind of what that day was like, how things kind of went, what type of things that they had in place, because that will give us a potential idea of what it'll be like when Disneyland opens here and or Disney World also opens here. Although I do think it'll be a little bit different between the two parks because Disney World is obviously a little more warmer. There's more humidity. It does get pretty warm in Southern California, but I feel like it doesn't get quite as bad with the humidity and everything.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think overall, I'm just going to jump right into it. Overall, from what I've seen, now granted, as you guys know, Tag and I were not there. We did not get to experience this firsthand ourselves. But from what I've seen other people reporting, videos, photos, all that sort of thing, you know, it looked like it went really well. You know, and I think I kind of, how do I want to say this nicely? I kind of expect everyone to be on their best behavior the first day. But it was really interesting. Actually, there was a news source. And of course, we're going to have the photos in our the links to the photos in our show notes. But it was really, really interesting. One thing that we have to keep in mind when it comes to Shanghai Disneyland versus our Disneyland in California is, first of all, Shanghai is ginormous. It is a huge, huge resort. The other thing too is Shanghai is often like packed to the gills. Like it's just a sea of people. That is a normal day there.
Yep.
We talked to I think we had Russell on a couple months ago, and he talked about his time at the Shanghai resort. And yeah, it just felt like wall to wall people. Whereas I feel even on busy days, even though it does feel like we get pretty packed in tight in Disneyland, it doesn't compare to what they have to usually do in Shanghai Disneyland. So anyway, so this businessinsider.com had these really cool photos, and it was showing basically what Shanghai Disneyland looked like before and what it looked like during opening day. So like one thing right here, one of the first photos they show is entering Shanghai Disney theme park and just like what's going through security and what going through the ticketing turnstiles looked like. And it was just a mass of people. Now the admission is actually, you know, it's greatly reduced. You have the health screens or whatever. Now they've got barricades kind of up, so everybody's very organized. They have the things on the ground that say, you know, make sure that you're staying 6 feet apart, all that sort of stuff. And it looks like a ghost town in comparison to the previous photo.
Yeah, so there's definitely a huge difference in the amount of people mm-hmm. there. They've done a really great job at signing a lot of stuff, which is great. One of the things that I think they did a really nice job of is and we've seen pictures for a couple weeks now of these signs that they're going to have on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of saying like, stand here, stand here, stand here, like our grocery stores and stuff have signs, they stand here. They actually have things to say, do not stand here. And so they have the section that is the sticker is don't stand here. So anywhere there's not a sticker is where you should stand. Obviously, that's going to be a little bit different because obviously if you have a larger group, you're going to take up more than like the little space that they gave you. But overall, it's good at making sure that people are separated enough and at the spot where they should be and keeping that good social distance. There was a couple of pictures that people were commenting on yesterday that were saying that, like, you know, some people did not have their masks on. There was a couple cast members in a picture that didn't have a mask on. They're like, oh, this mm-hmm. is gonna be bad for Disney. Well, these cast members weren't that close to people. I assume that they probably took them off for a short period of time. Obviously for like their reopening ceremony, they had some people that were not wearing masks, but they were far enough away from the general public. It wasn't going to be an issue. So I think that a lot of their things like this and the social distancing have been good. I'm interested to see how this continues on as they ramp up, how they are able to continue with these measures, I guess.
The other cool thing too, going back to the markings that they have on mm-hmm. the ground there is in some of the videos I did see, because, you know, the big thing that people, you know, and is one of the things that I think about when we're thinking, oh, we have to try and, you know, maintain distance between each other while in the parks. The big thing that I'm thinking is going to be hard, of course, is the attraction queue line. So there was a lot of different videos that people posted of being in the queue lines. A lot of them, like Tron, I think, had a 5-minute wait for most of the day. So a lot of the queues you actually just walked on through. But the really interesting thing is in the queue, their cast members were kind of patrolling, I guess, if you want to call it, the queue. And so if people were not in their designated area, they, you know, kindly asked them to get back to where they need to be. So they, you know, were there to kind of gently remind people. And it wasn't 100% up to the guests to follow the rules. The cast members were also helping and reminding them too, because, you know what, this is different. You know, I don't think anybody's going to be purposefully going out of their way and trying to like butt up to the person in front of them because they're just that excited or whatever. We all get in the Disney bubble, right? We're all guilty of it. We get either sucked into our phones or we're too busy looking at the castle or this or that or whatever. So, you know, we get distracted. So I think it's nice that they do, that they realize this and that they're trying to have the cast members there to gently remind us, but then also we are having to be responsible for ourselves as well.
And I think that's what it's going to be like here when things open as well. I think that it's going to be a situation where people are going to have cast members there to remind people to, you know, kind of gently make sure, remind them, you know, you're a little close or be careful or whatever. Because, so you know, I'll be honest. I mean, I went to Walmart last week and they had done the signs where each aisle was only one way. And there was a couple times I went down the wrong way and I'm like, oh, darn it. Like, I wanted to do better. And as I got used to it after doing it wrong a couple times, I got it in my head to make sure you got to look down. You got to make sure there's you know, the right arrow direction. We went to our local Aldi today and it was the same thing. They have lines throughout the store of which direction you're supposed to travel. So it takes some practice, but I think by the end of, if you're there for multiple days, I think by the end of your first day, that's going to, you know, it's going to be ingrained in you to do the right thing and to keep those distances. They have a ton of cast members though for this opening too. I was surprised by how many cast members were out and about. I thought that they would have like cut down on cast members.
It was interesting because I was watching, you know, seeing a couple of people report on things and watching different stuff, and a lot of people mentioned like felt like there was, you know, some naysayers, well, there was more cast members there than there were, you know, visitors, which, you know, I would rather that because I do think, again, like we said, we're going to, this is very different for us. So we're going to have to, we need help. So I'm glad that the cast members are there to try and help us through this change and help us through what this new normal is going to be if you decide to visit the parks as soon as they reopen. One other thing that I thought was really cool, and it was something that I figured we wouldn't be seeing, character meet and greets. They did have character meet and greets, and they did have little like shows, kind of like street performance type shows that they did have throughout the days. Now, the thing that was really interesting is usually for this stuff, everybody kind of bunches up together to, you know, kind of get in tight, watch the show together, or, you know, get in line to see the character, whatever. But for these little performances, they actually had tape on the ground and like you had to be in this yellow box. If you were outside, so you and your family could be inside of this box. Nobody was to be outside of these taped boxes on the ground. Again, lots of cast members were there to help remind people and to kind of help with crowd control on that. And it looked like for the most part, people were very respectful of that and people abided by the magical tape that was on the ground. So I thought that was really cool because I thought for sure that we wouldn't be seeing shows or any type of character meet and greet things. Mind you, the character meet and greets do look very different because you are basically waving at the character from a distance away. They did also have a wall of cast members kind of crouched down in front of where the characters were just to make sure that, you know, maybe a little kid gets really excited. Hey, it's Mickey Mouse. And they try to go running over there, you know, so they were trying to be aware that that could happen, also be a barrier, but also make it so that you could still take your photos and you could still have interaction with the characters. So I thought that was very cool.
Yeah, I think it's really important to still have those character interactions because one of the things many of you have communicated with us either through email or through our chat are that is part of the Disney magic is to interact with these people that you're used to interacting with. So if they were to make it that you couldn't interact with these characters, I think that it would definitely be a little less Disney magic. We talked about that, was that last week or 2 weeks ago, about things that would cause Disney, it was 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? That would cause Disney magic to kind of diminish. So I think that this is good that they're doing this. Again, there was no fireworks show. They did have a projection show of lights.
I was surprised that they would do because that's something that would normally draw, you know, a crowd, and so you have to try and keep these people separated.
Yeah. And then, of course, there's no parades either. So, I mean, but that makes sense because parades are really difficult to keep people kind of separated from. What's going to be really interesting to me is as these numbers ramp up over time, how are they going to modify this stuff?
Yeah.
Because as you add more people to the equation, it becomes more difficult to keep everybody kind of apart. So I'm very interested to see how that's going to change and what that's going to look like, especially going forward at the U.S. parks. Like we talked about earlier in the show, Bob Chapek was saying that, you know, there was some concern that, you know, a lot of people in the Asian countries like China, Tokyo was very good at this. I've seen multiple trip reports from people who've been to Tokyo Disneyland that people are very respectful there. People sit down for things. They leave plenty of space that they're supposed to leave. You could have the magical... Sometimes you don't even have the magical tape lines. They just know where the queue is going to be, and that's how that they line up. They're very respectful of this. So it's one of those situations where we're... In America, it seems like we're not as good at paying attention to that stuff. And people get the Disney goggles on where they... get to the park and they're not paying attention and stuff. So it becomes a challenge. But I'm glad that that we have a Disney park open somewhere. I'm very, very excited for that. It seems like it's going pretty well. The first week of tickets sold out like right away, which I think is great. Again, like I said earlier, I really hope that this doesn't, in a couple weeks from now, we don't see a spike in cases in China, because that would be really unfortunate. And we'd have to backpedal some of this. So the excitement we have now, I think, is measured. But from everything that we're seeing from Shanghai, it feels like it feels like going to the grocery store here. If everybody stays a certain distance, if they wear masks and if they're careful, temperature screenings and stuff like that, all of these things, each one of these things is not 100%, but a bunch of these things together give you a greater possibility that it's going to be safe. So I'm hoping that they learn some stuff here. Mm-hmm. They also said that the team at Shanghai, I saw an interview from one of the presidents or something from Shanghai Disney Resort, said that they're constantly communicating with the other Disney parks around the world to share knowledge and information on what's working, what's not working. So we probably will be some of the last parks to open. But that could be really good, because that means that all the other parks have gone through all the things that don't work or don't work very well. So by the time we get these things here, they're going to be like a fine oiled machine and they're going to know what's going on.
Yeah. Some other differences to note, too, that Shanghai did with their reopening is they actually put out more garbage cans, so that you were able to, if you were wearing gloves, or remember, everybody is required at this time to wear masks, and that's cast members included. They have garbage cans out more frequently so that people are able to dispose of these things mm-hmm. without having to either throw them on the ground or whatever. So I thought that was something that was smart to add that I necessarily didn't think of myself. The other thing, too, is that to help with, you know, social distancing, they did decide to leave open rows of seats on rides. So say, for instance, Pirates of the Caribbean, instead of having, you know, every single seat filled, they go every other row, and every row is just you and your family. So it's people within your party, or as we kind of have been using, people that are in your petri dish are the people that you're next to. Some other things, too, is like things like Midway Mania, or like Buzz Lightyear, things that you're actually physically holding things on the attraction. They did decide to implement that guests are wearing gloves when they're holding things.
Sure.
The other thing, too, is that employees are trying to disinfect the ride vehicles and lap bars in between use as well.
While guests are encouraged to wear face masks, strongly encouraged, which is interesting because I thought it was required, face characters like Disney princesses do not wear masks in order to keep the story integrity. Which is interesting, you know, because Disney's all about story. Again, I don't think that these characters are close to people, so
no,
I think that it's a little bit better.
Yeah, a lot of the face characters that I saw that were out were up in places that you couldn't walk to them. So kind of like, for example, at Disneyland, maybe they had them up on the train station, but they had like the stairwell up to the train chased and closed, so guests couldn't actually get up to where the characters were, but the characters that were there and they were, you know, greeting you coming in. So yeah, I just think it's interesting because it seems like it went really well. So I don't know. I for some reason I thought that it was going to be a rough start, especially since it's the first day of the first reopening of a Disney park. Of course there are going to be kinks to work out. So I'm glad that for the most part it went pretty smoothly.
Yeah. And you know, this is gonna be one of those things I think that we have to wait and see long term how things are going to continue to go, and what I'm sure a week from now we'll hear things that didn't work out or things that are working out well, and that they're going to be tweaking that will end up at our parks here in the States, and Disneyland specifically. And it'll be interesting. One of the things, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, is Shanghai is so much larger, they kind of have room for spacing out people. Disneyland does not have that pleasure of size. So I'm wondering how it's going to be modified for Disneyland, because Disneyland is the smallest of the of the parks, of the, you know, Magic Kingdom style park, I think is what they call it. So it's going to be interesting to see how that works out.
I think it'll be okay with Disneyland, because again, we're having reduced capacity. So my only thing that I can think of that is might be similar is when we went into the parks to special after hour ticketed events.
Sure.
You know, there's only so many people in the parks. So even things like I'm thinking about Oogie Boogie Bash, of course. So even things like finding a spot for the parade for that evening, I was like, you guys, we have to, you know, I want to get the dining package so we have reserved parade seating, because I don't want to have to waste time waiting in my perfect parade seat. You know, mm-hmm. I don't want to, that's valuable time. I don't want to waste it. Well, we did the dining package. My parents did not do the dining package because they had gotten to the park later than we had. They walked right up, no problem, and actually were seated right across the street from where we were in our, you know, so you just forget, you know, you think of your normal Disney day and how packed and how crowded it is. Yeah. But once you take out a lot of the people, it's a whole different experience. So I believe ticketed events, I could be completely wrong, the ticketed events, after hours events, would be less people than what they would be open if they say open at 20% capacity. But the park just felt so much bigger. The only time that things were really chaotic or people really close together was just in the lines. So if they can manage,
but you were at DCA, which is a little different.
But if they can manage the lines for these things, that's going to be, I think, to me, that's the biggest hurdle, is managing the lines. Because if they take out things like parades and take out fireworks, which makes me very sad, but I understand it, you know, that would be another hard thing to try and manage distancing.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. One thing I'd like to share, too, is that the opening ceremony, Shanghai Disneyland President and General Manager Joe Schott said, quote, "We hope that today's reopening can serve as a beacon of light across the globe, providing hope and inspiration for everyone, and can demonstrate that we can overcome any challenge together," end quote. And I feel like that's a very great quote to kind of, that summarizes the COVID-19 situation. I feel like as humanity, mm-hmm. That us getting back to normal and safely, of course, is kind of, you know, the hopefully the light is at the end of the tunnel and we're coming out of this and we've done everything we need to get back to being normal, or whatever the new normal is. And hopefully we can move on past this and we don't run into another one of these a few years down the road, or that we keep bringing back COVID-19 because we're doing it wrong. But I think that people, especially in this community, people really needed this kind of like uplifting, somewhere there's a Disney park open.
Yeah.
It gives hope that our parks will be open at some point, and that there is hope that in the future you can go back to a Disney park, because with everything closed and when we didn't know when anything was going to open, it kind of felt really kind of hopeless, because we had no idea, was it going to be next month? Was it going to be next year? And that's kind of a bleak place to be. So the fact that at least one Disney park is open gives hope that other Disney parks are going to open. And as more Disney parks open and things get worked out, I think we're just going to continue to be more and more optimistic about things, at least in this aspects of our lives. And we can kind of be motivated to get through all of this crappiness we have right now to get to that point where we get to enjoy these things again.
One final quote that I like to share from Scott was just very simple. Life can let you down, and our brand is about hope. So I think that's why, again, it's just so wonderful to know that somewhere in the world there is a Disney park that is open and people are getting to experience the Disney magic there.
So one of the articles we linked in the, that will be linked in our show notes, one of the comments on there I wanted to share because it kind of goes along with that too. Disney still has and will always have the magic. So even seeing, you know, all of these things at Shanghai Disneyland, there's still some magic to be had with this. So I think that's great. And I'm so glad that somewhere there's a Disney park.
Now it's time to return to producer Vern over in Trivia Land to get the answers to this week's trivia.
Lord help us.
Especially with the last two, three.
We started out strong.
We started out strong, and then you started off
just flying, and I was getting worried, but then that the listeners quickly. Pulled through for me and gave us some really good questions. So congratulations, listeners. You sent us some good ones. Keep up the good work. So, your first question. In the Haunted Mansion, during the ballroom scene, you can see a spider and its web on the glass. What caused this? And yes, your very long answer that you totally took off with, you were completely right. Although the answer that was submitted by listener Todd said that Disney legend is that a kid with a slingshot created the crack. And then, yes, the giant panes of glass were positioned before the construction was completed. They wouldn't be able to remove the panes of glass, blah, blah, blah. And, yeah, you know the rest of the story. So
my answer of a naughty, naughty guest.
Yes, it was a very naughty, naughty guest.
Slingshot. How do you even get the slingshot in? You can't even bring a... Can't even bring a selfie stick anymore.
A couple years ago.
Well, that's why you can't bring a selfie stick. Right. Because of some kid with a slingshot. Question number two. When Splash Mountain opened, a TV special was aired that featured what 80s advertising icon being the, quote, first person to ride Splash Mountain? That was Ernest P. Worrell, portrayed by Jim Varney, who also voiced a Slinky Dog in Toy Story.
I don't think I made that connection before.
What do you feel about this guy? Because he's the one that I'm sure you get the most for your name. You know what I mean,
yeah,
Vern?
Yeah, we can just totally edit all of that. Nobody needed to make that connection, and we are moving on from there. Thank you. Question number three.
Did I answer your question?
Yes.
Question number three. Who is the motivational speaker of Toontown? That you went with, what was it, Gadget and...
Roger Rabbit.
Roger Rabbit. The correct answer submitted by listener Freya was Jiminy Cricket.
Oh, that makes sense.
That makes perfect sense. However, for some reason, I would picture Jiminy Cricket to live in Fantasyland and not Toontown, but he is a toon.
Yeah.
Huh.
Cool. Okay.
All right. Question number four, submitted by listener Bob, a.k.a. Ace. After riding Midway Mania, you exit up the stairs and you're on a walkway that overlooks what? Teresa, you were so close saying that you thought it was a shop of some sort. It was Midway Mercantile.
Ooh.
That as you're on the walkway, you're looking straight down. And as you're on that walkway, what is directly to your left side, there is a scene depicting Andy's dad's office, and Andy's Midway Mercantile playset is on the floor with Andy's toys scattered about.
Super cool. That's super cool. I remember walking past that, but not...
You know what? I never even think to look off of that because we're like always in such a rush. We're always talking about our score or how fun something was. And I'm literally looking the opposite direction.
Stairs that you like exit at the... I don't know. I thought so.
How do you think Tag and Teresa did? How did you do? Do you think that you could stump them? If you would like to send in some of your own trivia to be asked on the show, just like the listeners that we chose trivia from tonight... Feel free to send that in to trivia@dlweekly.net.
We will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, stay hopeful, wash your hands, and spread some Disney magic.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.